this last song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, just reminds me of the verse, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into it and are safe. Proverbs 18:10.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms.
This time, Peter is going to open us up in prayer.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity for us to gather in a sense. We just pray that we would be able to focus on you, Lord, and not be distracted by things at home or distracted by the limitations of the technology. Lord, we just confess that sometimes it's confusing to know how it may apply in this sort of situation. The verse that says, where two or three are gathered together, there I am among them. We don't always know what that means in situations like this, but we know, Lord, that your word transcends time and culture and technology. And we just we want to focus our hearts on you, Lord. We want to feel your presence here. We want to worship you. We want to learn about you, learn from your word. And we pray a blessing on Phil as he delivers the message. And we pray that we would hear from your Holy Spirit today and feel a fellowship, Lord, with each other in spite of the circumstances. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Hello everyone, welcome to our sermon this morning. I'm going to incorporate a bit of technology during the message today. So I hope that you're able to follow along on your screens. I realize some of you are on computers with big monitors, some of you have very little monitors on your cell phone. But I hope that this goes through. I have high hopes for this morning. Today's message is titled, Desperately Seeking Blank. Desperately Seeking Blank. And today we're going to be looking at the life of Zacchaeus. And we can go back to normal screen now. Why don't you read along with me in Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 1. The story of Zacchaeus is only found in Luke. And if you want to stand with me, you can. If you feel like you need a little more exercise to make these Zoom meetings less static, you're free to stand with me. Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Those of you who are standing can sit down now. Thank you for standing with me. Now let me start with some observations about the text, and then we'll get to our three-point sermon. The first observation I want to make about this has to do with geography. And for that, we're going to go ahead and pull up our map. As Jack pointed out last week, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to eventually be crucified. Now, I wonder how many of you know the geography of Jesus' route. I had to look it up for today's sermon. A couple of chapters ago, we see that Jesus was in northern Israel at the border between Galilee and Samaria. So my little map over here, which I want to thank my counselor to do this for me. Over here, this part over here, this is the Mediterranean Sea. And then here's where the land starts, this little line right there. And then this is all Israel and Judea. This is the whole first century Israel as we would know it. And I took the time to draw the borders of Galilee, and then here you can see Samaria. So in Luke 17, which is the last place where we have a set geographic location for Jesus, we see that he is in the border between Galilee and Samaria. Now, that's up north, and where does Jesus have to go? He needs to go to Jerusalem. Now, this little dotted line actually represents a well-known Roman road at the time. We can still find it because a lot of the Roman roads are still there. So you can see it's a pretty much a straight jog south. We're not entirely sure where he was between Galilee and Samaria. He's just somewhere in here. But he's got to go south. But what's interesting is that Jesus takes the time to go to Jericho. Now, Jericho is out of the way. It's not a long ways. This is only about 15.9 miles. It's not an especially long trip. When you're walking, I'm sure you'll feel 15.9 miles. I know I probably would. So he goes by way of Jericho. So Jericho is not on the way. So let me take some geography that you might know, and we'll kind of put some names in here to take the place of Israel. So imagine you're somewhere up in Ohio. We know the map of Ohio. I hope you live here. And so Jesus is somewhere between Sandusky and Toledo, somewhere in there. He's up in northern Ohio. He's got to get south to Columbus. Now, there's a few different ways he could go, but the main thing is he's going south. Now, if you wound up in Newark, Ohio, no offense to those of you who live in Newark, but if you're trying to get to Columbus and you're going all the way from up here down here, and you wind up in Newark, I will tell you that you are lost. You should find a new app for your GPS. Because if you're going from Toledo or Sandusky to Columbus, you would not just go to Newark. That's just out of the way. So I really want to emphasize this point that Jesus is out of his way. He's not on the most direct path. Jesus has some pretty important business down here in Jerusalem. Over the next week or so, Jesus is going to be crucified and other things. But he takes the time. One more quick little mission. He goes to Jericho. All right, we can go back to our normal screen now. I want to thank my sound person and other tech crew this morning. They've been very helpful so far. Observation number two. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Today we would call them, at the time they called them publicans, P-U-B-L-I-C-A-N-S, publicans. Now to help you remember the situation, the Romans had conquered the entire known world, or certainly that area of the world was conquered by the Romans. The Romans were always collecting taxes from the people they had conquered. The Romans had a really smart system. They let the locals collect the taxes. If the Romans had come to your door, knocked on the door, and said, hey, taxes due, pay half your salary, you would probably be inclined to break out your sword because you wouldn't enjoy that at all. But let's suppose they had a local, someone that you knew knocking on your door on their behalf, you would be less inclined to break out your sword. And of course, the Romans knew that. Observation number three, Zacchaeus was rich. Why was Zacchaeus rich? Because he took a bit more than he needed to in his tax collections. He didn't steal from the Romans. No. He took extra from his own people. This is why tax collectors were hated by the people. This was a widespread problem in first century Israel. It was widespread. It was a big problem. And we see it in other places in scripture. You know, I'll just go ahead and say this. Sometimes we tend to turn a blind eye to sin because it's everywhere. But it makes it no less sinful. In America, we struggle a lot with pornography, abortion, covetousness. These things might be widespread in America, but being widespread makes it no less sinful. We must wash our minds with the Word of God so that we can remember that the Lord's standards are unchanging with time. It's our society that drifts. God's standards do not drift. Observation number four, Zacchaeus was in sin. He was caught up in the trappings of his profession. Money had a hold of Zacchaeus in a bad way. The whole town of Jericho knew it. Zacchaeus made false accusations about people, and he took more taxes than he needed to. His wealthy gains, many of them were ill-begotten. He was shady. He was corrupted. He was troubled. He was in the chains of sin, and he was in charge of other sinful people because he was the chief tax collector. Observation number five, Zacchaeus was desperate to get out of his sinful lifestyle, but he probably didn't know what getting out looked like. How do I know this? Well, I can infer that from the text because we see what happens next. But I can also infer it from the fact that every sinful person, even those hearing my voice today, wants to be free from their sin. They may not like the cure, but they don't like the disease. They want their life made right. They sometimes don't know what it takes to have their lives made right. How can I be delivered from my sin? They may ask. Observation number 6, Jesus' reputation had preceded him. When Jesus came to Jericho, a crowd gathered. We saw some of this crowd in the preceding story of Bartimaeus, but we see it again here. Jesus enters town and a crowd just forms. What will Jesus say? Will he say something that will inspire me? Will he heal people? Will he perform miracles? Will he challenge the authorities of the day? Will he change my life? The crowd has gathered to find out. Observation number 7. Zacchaeus was a man of short stature. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He was a short man. Now, the people of the time were actually not especially tall. We did a little research this week to see just how tall Jesus was, and the scholar said, hey, he was probably somewhere in the low 5-foot range, just like most of the people of the day. So for Zacchaeus to be a wee little man, that's the American version of this. The scripture just says short stature. We got to figure Zacchaeus was probably no taller than 4.5 feet, possibly considerably shorter than that. We don't really know exactly how tall he was, but we can guess. But he was a short man, but he wanted to see Jesus. The crowd got in Zacchaeus' way. However, Zacchaeus found a solution. He could just climb a tree. Now remember, he's a man, not a boy. So for a person of Zacchaeus' age and of his position to climb a tree is a bit unorthodox. So we begin to see Zacchaeus' desperation here. Remember, Zacchaeus is desperate to get out of his sinful life, and here comes this Jesus fellow whose reputation is one of setting people free. Oh, if only Zacchaeus could see Jesus or perhaps interact with Jesus. So Zacchaeus climbed the tree. He's not letting this crowd stop him. He needs to see Jesus. And this is no mere stump. It's a real tree because the scripture says that Jesus had to look up to see Zacchaeus. Observation number 8. The tree was probably not a dead tree. Dead trees along busy pathways are usually chopped down for firewood. So the tree had greenery on it. It was a real fig tree, making it harder for Zacchaeus to climb, perhaps even making it harder for Jesus to see Zacchaeus. I bring this up because growing up, a lot of the illustrations in my children's Bible always showed a long dead tree branch with Zacchaeus in the tree. But that's not accurate. That was just what happens when the illustrator says, hey, you can have this done by Tuesday, but if you want leaves, it won't be done until Friday. It was a real tree, not a dead tree. All right. Observation number 9. Jesus had a divine timetable, and it was a relatively tight schedule. Jesus went right to Zacchaeus, right to the tree where Zacchaeus was. Jesus called Zacchaeus by name. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. He told Zacchaeus to make haste. He said, today I must stay at your house. Let me take just a minute on this particular observation. Jesus has a limited window of time for his mission to Jericho. Jesus has to be in Jerusalem very soon. Actually, nothing less than the fate of the universe depends on Jesus' schedule over the next week or so. So he has a very limited window of time. Jesus told him to make haste, and the Lord told him so. Jesus said that Zacchaeus needed to make haste. You know, very often there's a tendency for us to think that we can repent any time we want to. Our sinful lifestyle. My experience is I don't think that's true. We must repent when the Lord is speaking to us. To repent of our sins and our own strength is often very, very difficult. and often it leads to stress and a cycle of repeated failure. But when God is speaking to us, it makes all the difference. One moment with God is better than 1,000 days without him. Better is one day in your courts, says the scripture. When we respond to the Holy Spirit, we can actually make great and lasting changes in a short period of time. The difference is that the Holy Spirit supernaturally enables us to make such rapid change. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. The Holy Spirit can make a sinner feel restless. The Holy Spirit can draw us to a place of repentance. So Zacchaeus had a very limited window of opportunity as well. Observation number 10, Zacchaeus didn't wait for Jesus to come to his house to be free of his sins. He repented of his sins right there and offered amends to those he had wronged and also gave up half his wealth to the poor so that the trappings of his wealth would no longer have mastery over him. Now let us ask ourselves, what was Jesus' grand sermon to Zacchaeus? What scolding, what admonition, what prophetic word does Jesus give to elicit this response from the sinful chief tax collector of Jericho? What strong rhetoric does Jesus have planned to give to this man? It doesn't matter. Jesus never had to give it. Jesus called this man by his God-given name and said, I want to be with you. And that was all it took for Zacchaeus to repent of his sins. Do you see this, saints? This is all it took for a man to be free of a sin that had mastered him, that had corrupted him, the sins that had bound Zacchaeus for years. The sins that had ruined his reputation with the community around him. He was hated by the entire town. Zacchaeus' sins had ruined him. Ruined. And with one sentence from the great Savior of the world, Zacchaeus' life turned on a dime. Have you ever felt that your life was beyond the reach of God, beyond the reach of grace, beyond forgiveness? Have you ever felt like you had completely shut out the voice of the Spirit, that your conscience had been seared shut by sin? Let me tell you, if you can hear God speaking to you today, then you are not beyond the reach of my Savior. If you can hear him speaking to you today, then there is still time for you to respond. Now, we're ready for our three-point sermon. Point number one. Zacchaeus was desperately seeking Jesus. We'll pull that up here so you can see it. Here we are. Zacchaeus was desperately seeking Jesus. Why does Zacchaeus want to see Jesus? Well, we can only speculate. Jesus always seemed to be building up a crowd wherever he went. Jesus often said or did exciting things, but I think Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus because he wanted out of his sinful lifestyle. I think Zacchaeus wanted out. He was supposed to be in this dignified position, yet he was willing to climb a tree just to interact with Jesus. You can go back to normal screen now. Thank you. Jesus interacts with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus wants out, but I'm not sure Zacchaeus really knew what out meant or looked like. I think he knew that he was in a bad place, a spiritually barren place, place of captivity and restlessness. You know, being stuck in sin is like being a prisoner, except you can't see the chains around your wrists or ankles, but you know they're there. You can feel them in the deepest part of you. I think that's where Zacchaeus was. I think he'd become very, very unsatisfied with his wicked lifestyle. Hey, Christian, can I ask you to do something? The next time a person who is living in sin comes to you and talks about how unsatisfied they are, or how restless they are, can you not gloss over it? Can you not say mindless things like, you'll feel better after a good night's sleep, or you just need a nice warm meal or something? There is no rest for the wicked, says the scripture. You should expect your wicked friends to live in reoccurring or perpetual restlessness. And when they come to you, you should either point them to Christ, or at least not try to make them comfortable. Very often, God uses restlessness for his purposes. I wonder how many of you today have no rest, not in the deepest part of you, and you know why that is. It's because you are living in sin. And you know that your sins have caused you to suffer internally. Externally, maybe everything seems fine, but internally, your life might be a hurricane of restlessness. If that is you, I hope you listen to the rest of the sermon because Jesus wants to speak into your life today. And that leads me to my second point. Second sermon point. Jesus was desperately seeking Zacchaeus. Jesus is desperately seeking Zacchaeus. Jesus went out of his way to see Zacchaeus and Bartimaeus in Jericho. They had never encountered Jesus before. Jesus was about to give his life for all of humanity, for hundreds of millions that were yet to be born, and yet Jesus takes a detour to the equivalent of Newark, Ohio. Again, no offense to those of you who live or work in Newark. Why does Jesus go out of his way to see Jericho, to go to Jericho to see Zacchaeus? Go back to normal screen. Thank you. Well, I'll tell you something interesting about Zacchaeus. His name means pure. He wasn't living a pure life. But after encountering Jesus, church history tells us that he became a church leader in Caesarea. So you might think to yourself, oh, that's it. That's the reason why Jesus went out of his way. Jesus went out of his way because Zacchaeus was to become a church leader. And after all, he was already wealthy and powerful. Surely that was why Jesus went out of his way for this man. That's what you think. You know what? You're completely wrong. Jesus pursued Zacchaeus, and he told us why. He said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Why did Jesus go out of his way for Zacchaeus? For his wealth? No. For his power? No. For his future ministry potential? No. Jesus went out of his way because Zacchaeus was lost to sin. And for that, the Savior of the world walked by foot 15 miles out of the way to a sycamore tree in Jericho. Because the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. In heaven's eyes, Zacchaeus wasn't a big fish. He was just a lost child of Abraham, another human being lost in sin. That's all he was. That was enough to put Jesus on the path to Jericho. Jesus took the time for one more mission, one more lost sheep, one more future citizen of heaven. Now you might say, Brother Phil, that's not right. That can't be right. Jesus could have spoken to any number of people during his final trip to Jerusalem. But who did Jesus go to? To Zacchaeus. He went right to him. Why Zacchaeus? Jesus did nothing without his father's direction. He only did what his father was doing, and he only said what his father was saying. So why did Jesus go to Zacchaeus in Jericho? Heavenly reason number one, because the God of heaven wanted Zacchaeus to repent and to be saved. Heavenly reason number two, because the God of heaven knew Zacchaeus could repent. If the message was clear enough, if it got through, Zacchaeus could actually repent. heavenly reason number three, because the God of heaven knew Zacchaeus would repent. Friends, there's an easy sermon connection here between Zacchaeus and ourselves. Are you lost in sin? Are you desperate for a way out of your sins? Do you want your life made right? Do you want to be justified and for God to make you just as if I'd never sinned ever? Today, Jesus has walked 15 miles to your little town today. Jesus is calling on you. He wants into your house, to your life. Do you feel God calling you to repentance today? Do you feel God asking if you need deliverance from sins or from the wrath of God that sinners justly deserve? Nobody is on this Zoom meeting by accident. Nobody stumbled in without God's arrangement of the circumstances of your life to bring you to this place, to this time, and to hear this message. Today, Jesus wants to come into your house, into your life, into your heart. Jesus loves you. And here's the third and final sermon point, which we'll put on the screen. Jesus is desperately seeking. There's a blank here. What goes in the blank? It's you. Jesus is desperately seeking you. Jesus is desperately seeking Kevin. Jesus is desperately seeking Diane. Jesus is desperately seeking. You put whatever your name is right here in this blank. Jesus is desperately seeking you. Can you hear him? Look, don't wait for a physical Jesus in human form to knock on your physical door with his traveling carpentry business. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15 that Christ became a life-giving spirit. So you don't get a knock on your physical door. What you get is a tug at your heart. A voice in your mind saying, you need to repent, to turn from your sins, and to put your life in Christ's hands for salvation. If you hear a voice inside of you, not just my voice, telling you that, then you need to respond. For it is surely the Lord calling on you right now. Jesus is desperately seeking you. And you have a limited window of opportunity of time to respond. If you're a Christian and God is pointing out sin in your life, the right response on your end is repentance with the help of the Holy Spirit. But if you're not a Christian and God is saying, repent, for today I want to be with you, then you need to do three simple things. As simple as A, B, C. A, accept that you are a sinner. B, believe that Christ died for your sins and was raised from the dead. C, confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. That's it. No fancy formula. If you want to speak to myself or any of the church elders, you can reach out to us after the sermon. Let us know that today salvation has come to your house, and we will rejoice with you. Would you respond to that love when you hear Jesus speak to you? Repent and believe. Salvation in Christ is as easy as A, B, C. That is the text about Zacchaeus. This is my sermon this morning. From the text, we saw that Zacchaeus was desperately seeking Jesus, that Jesus was desperately seeking Zacchaeus, and that Jesus, even now, is desperately seeking you. With that, I'll turn things back over. Thank you.
So next up, Paul's going to go over our announcements and offering today.
Okay, I'm waiting for the screen.
We can see you just fine, Paul.
Okay. That's good. Let me bring up the announcements, I guess, on my phone here. We have a few announcements today. In fact, we have quite a few announcements today. Appreciate your patience. I got a little adjustment to make here. Okay. Despite the quarantine, there's a lot going on at New Song this week. In addition to the Zoom meeting schedule, please attend and share these events with others. While our civil leaders are discussing reopening public businesses and gatherings slowly, New Song leadership has decided to continue to meet remotely until it is clearly safe for our congregation to meet physically. So we are still planning on meeting remotely for the present time. Hey, there's a new Sunday school lesson for 2 and 3 year olds on YouTube. The link is on newsong.family/live. You'll enjoy that one. I know we enjoyed the last one. Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. is pull through prayer, and Jack will be on later to discuss that. So I'm going to jump ahead to the life group leaders meeting, which will meet May 4th. That is tomorrow, 7 p.m. on Zoom. Monday, May 4th, 7 p.m. on Zoom, life group leaders meeting, remote meeting on Zoom. Tuesday, we're going through about every day of the week here. Tuesday, 10 to 1, prayer open house on Zoom. Wednesday, 12:15 to 1 is the lunch break chat. That's for anyone who wants to hang out on Zoom for a midweek check-in. Thursday, the first Thursday in May is always the National Day of Prayer. Locally, you can catch the Pataskala Day of Prayer streaming 7 to 8:30 p.m. this Thursday, May 7th. More details are on their Facebook page. That link, again, is on our webpage that you can go right over there and see it. But remember the National Day of Prayer on Thursday. Friday, we have a prayer meeting in the morning. That's been bumped recently for the online crowd to 7 to 8 a.m. It used to be earlier. Now it's 7 to 8, so you get a little more shut-eye and come to that prayer meeting on Zoom. Saturday, this is big. All parents of minor children are warmly invited to take part in an online seminar, New Testament Parenting, on Saturday, May 9th, 9 to 11 a.m. I am going to be there. I need that. I am really looking forward to hearing the Hargers and the Stockdales talk. They have 16 adult children, all of whom are following Christ. You may want to know some of their secrets. There is no cost to the seminar. It's open to the community, so feel free to invite your friends and neighbors who are concerned about parenting. The Facebook event is shareable on the website. Please remember, if you did not catch today's sermon in its entirety, you can find recordings of each week's worship service here on newsong.family/live. And remember, too, that your prayer requests can be emailed to prayer@newsong.family. Do this by noon on Sunday to be included in the weekly prayer ministry email. So just right after you hang up from the Zoom, send in those prayer requests. Again, giving, you can give in the traditional way by check and send it to New Song. Also online, you can go to the link we have at newsong.family/giving and give online if you wish. We are continuing to observe communion here at New Song. If you need elements, You can use your own juice and bread at home, or you can pick up the individually packaged communion elements at the church by contacting pastors@newsong.family, and they will make those available to you. Ushers can deliver individually packaged elements to you if need be. If you need delivery, again, contact pastors@newsong.family. And finally, I'm almost done. For any needs, questions, or concerns, please email the pastors@newsong.family. If you have any needs, spiritual or physical, they are waiting to help you. On the webpage, we have Jack's contact information and Ashley's contact information. It might do you some good to bookmark and share the link https://newsong.family/live. And now I'm going to turn it over to Jack. He has a few things to share.
As many of you know, now for some years, we have had a ministry called Pull In for Prayer, where we are beckoning passersby, the commuter traffic in the afternoon, to drive into our parking lot and to be prayed for. This has now sort of morphed into what we are calling Pull Through Prayer, where we are going to be practicing social distancing. People will not be asked to get out of their car. They'll be asked to remain in their car. We will stay 6 feet away. And I am super eager, looking forward to moving forward with this ministry. However, we are working through a few snags. I would like to say that we're up and running tomorrow, but we're not there quite yet. So those of you who have helped with Pull In for Prayer in the past, I know who you are, and I will be in touch with you. Hopefully there will be others of you who will take opportunity in this season to meet the needs of people who are especially sensing a need for God. And we will communicate with you as soon as the glitches have been dealt with and we can move forward. We'll send out some kind of it's a mass email or a text letting people know that we're moving forward. There will be an opportunity for you to sign up on the schedule online that will be set up, and we'll let you know, but we're not there quite yet. So but be ready to jump in and pray that the details would be able to be worked out. We'll let you know as soon as they are. So that's it on Pull Through Prayer.
And with that, Peter will wrap us up with prayer today.
All right, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message that we heard from Phil and this opportunity for us to gather virtually. We pray that you'd do your work on our hearts throughout this week as we meditate, as we continue to meditate on the word that we heard, and the words that Luke wrote in the gospel about Zacchaeus. Lord, we pray for anyone here on the Zoom call, or anyone we might come into contact with as we go about our daily lives, or anyone else that we won't come into contact with, Lord, that who might be tired of a life of sin, Lord, whose hope might have been broken from the pandemic. Maybe their hope was in worldly systems of some kind. Maybe their hope was in the stock market or their retirement or their job or their health. Maybe that hope has been broken and they need something more eternal, something more secure, Lord. And their hearts are ready, Lord. Please send someone in their path, someone who can share with them the hope that you offer us all, Lord. And Lord, make us ready. Let us put on as shoes for our feet the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Let us have hearts and minds attentive to those around us who might be in that situation, who might be tired of a life of sin. And we pray, Lord, that you'd give us the right words to say, to encourage them, to show them your love, Lord, and to speak your truth with gentleness and respect. the truth that the world sometimes finds so offensive, Lord, but it's true that we are sinners and we need you. We desperately need you to forgive us. And we thank you so much, Lord, for doing that, for sending your son and for providing salvation. And we pray that we'd continue to meditate on this and continue to be ready for your work. In Jesus' holy, sacred, and precious name I pray, amen.